Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. Find it on iTunes and now Acast through your podcast app, or subscribe via the feed link on the website. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. Hello and welcome to episode 68. This week, the slip stitch beret, progress on that towel, socks and crochet. I mentioned last week that I want a blue and white beret to wear when I take my children down to Cardiff to see the Scotland Wales International in November. And I had spotted the slip stitch beret by Lisa Gentry for Karen Yarns. The pattern is written for two yarns, but I have this variegated blue that I thought would lend itself very well, and I very much wanted to use that. Also, I'd like to use it up. So I didn't bother using the two yarns, and I realised afterwards that although it's fine, it came out fine, but that does make a difference to the effect on the finished product. Oh dear, was that a bit of a spoiler? I think I've just implied that I made another one. To be honest, I liked it so much that I made two, and I'm planning a third and a fourth. What you don't see with just the one yarn, especially because it's variegated, which disguises texture effects as well, is that there is a square pattern that comes out when you have the contrasting colours. It's a sort of Fair Isle style square pattern. You could call the finished effect a faux Fair Isle. That would very much depend on your second yarn choice colour. I think the intention is that you knit with one plain and one variegated, because that, I think, gives you the best effect. So I liked this, the first one I'd made, but my version didn't flop over to one side as much as the one in the photo. If you look at the original pattern, I'll obviously put a link to this in the notes, the girl in the pattern is wearing a beret that flops over so much it's virtually resting on her shoulder. And I sort of quite liked that, but the first one just really didn't do that. But I still liked it, which was a surprise for me, because I normally look a lot better in a hat with a peak, and arguably I do look better in a hat with a peak, but I still quite liked this. And this is almost unheard of for me. I rated myself very pleased with the finished article on my Ravelry project page. Usually my assessment of my projects is okay to middling, but this was a throw a party, 5-star, woohoo! I loved it, and I wanted to make another one straight away because I wanted to see what the difference was with the two yarns. So I cast on, and unusually for me, I didn't do what I normally do when I have to knit in the round. Usually I knit a couple of rounds of plain knit and then I join, because you can see very clearly if you're twisting. I didn't do it this time. This is because the rib has an effect in it. It's a little bit hard to describe, but you're effectively, it's almost like a mini cable. So I didn't want to spoil that, but I'm so suspicious of joining to knit in the round. I the word sort of make my blood run cold briefly. So I decided to go for it, and it was very unwise, because I was very careful, but four rows in I found I twisted the join. So I ripped it out and went to bed in half. What didn't help is that the particular cable I was using on this circular is really springy with a mind of its own. So that wasn't helping. I think it was giving me a false impression that everything was okay when that was far from the case. Anyway, so the next morning, despite the fact that it's the school holidays at the moment, I leapt out of bed at 7:30 because I had to answer a work email, one of those where I needed to catch something in the nick of time before it set off a train of events which I would then have to unpick. So after I'd done that, I found myself casting on for the hat, for this second hat again. This time I just accepted that I had to do two knit rows before joining. And that was fine, and it worked out as it should. So yes, for anyone who hasn't heard me talk about this before, if I skimmed over it just now, the point of doing these two knit rows before you join to knit in the round, even if that, you know, even if you're meant to do rib from the off or something else from the off, is that once you have these two rows of knitting hanging off your cable, it's much clearer to see whether you are twisting your work before you join to knit in the round, because there are many things that you can undo in knitting more or less elegantly. But if you've twisted something as you go to knit in the round, as far as I'm aware, please let me know if you found a solution. As far as I'm aware, there's nothing you can do about it. So I hesitate to say that this way is foolproof, but it pretty much always works. And having just had this experience of twisting and so on, I don't think I'm going to be giving it up anytime soon. So the 2x2 rib is then worked with this way of, you sort of twist the knit stitches over each other. The pattern tells you to let one of the knit stitches just drop off the needle, but I didn't fancy that. I used the tip of a cable needle instead. On the first hat that I made, I found this a real fiddle, but on the second it flowed pretty well. I just got a muscle memory with it and it just worked out. But having said that, I don't think it adds much to the finished effect, so I might not bother next time. The first decision I had to make when I cast on for the second hat was which yarn to use as my cast on colour. The pattern uses the plain colour for this cast on, which obviously gives you the band that sits against your head, but my plain colour was going to be cream, and I was very mindful of the time I made a cowl with cream as the main colour and ended up looking like I was wearing a surgical collar, and I thought using cream for the band ran a serious risk of looking like a bandage, so I chose to use the blue instead. Usually when I use a variegated yarn, I just take what I'm given with where I'm starting. I'm not normally trying to get anything to match or whatever, and I quite like that randomness. But this time I fed out quite a lot of the yarn until I got to the start of the darker section, because I wanted to make sure I got the benefit of using the mixed colour for the band, because there's no point not using the cream if all you're then going to get is a very pale icy blue for 8 rounds. You've not really gained anything. The pattern is written in 2 sizes, small and a medium large. I went for the larger size, and for the main part of the hat that's fine, but the band is on the big side. I'm considering using fewer stitches when I cast on the next one, but of course that means then increasing more than the pattern states in the next section, and I don't want to upset the balance. I might experiment with it and see what comes out. The main part of the hat is written in a 12-line pattern section, which you knit 3 times. Now, because I found that the first hat wasn't as floppy as I wanted, I did 4 sets of the pattern instead the second time, and that's perfect. I mean, if you really wanted a super floppy hat, you could do 5. It doesn't affect anything, doesn't affect how any of the rest of the hat behaves. But so I found 4 was absolutely right. There's been a couple of photographs of the hat on Instagram, but I took those before I blocked them. I've since blocked them, and although I haven't tried them on, the band still feels pretty big, so I think the next time there's definitely an argument for casting on fewer stitches. I mean, arguably I could make the whole hat in a smaller size, so we'll have to see. My son has asked for one, so I think I'll give him the first one because it's shorter in the crown. My husband tried one on for me, and he looked surprisingly good in it. He tried the second one. He looked like a big hairy Highlander despite being a French-English hybrid. I have some purple Arran yarn, which I'd love to use, but I'd like to find a variegated purple to use as the contrast colour. I do have some yarn I could use just for the hell of making it, but I think I really like this faux Fair Isle effect, so I would really like to have a go. But I'm not going to, well, what am I trying to say? I want to do a version ultimately to wear on the day which doesn't have acrylic in it, because acrylic sends my hair haywire, puts the hay into haywire, to be honest. So if I was going to buy something to make a purple version with, I would want that not to be acrylic. So although the price, I might be priced out of the market, but I did wonder about something like alpaca, whether that might be a good compromise rather than using lamb's wool, which just drives me crazy. So, but having said all that, because this hat is floppy, I feel better about using a cotton yarn. It's not a hat that needs a lot of structure. So we'll see. This has been a great find anyway, and I may well find that a few of them are making their way out this year as Christmas presents. Ooh. Sorry. I've had in mind for a while to make a pair of socks out of the miles of sock yarn remnants I have in my stash, so I cast on Saturday. I have two main sock designs for my husband, because he's the main person I knit socks for. One is a waffle design, which basically has squares of knit and squares of purl on the top of the foot. Obviously, it's plain on the sole. And the other is a rib. I sometimes do 3x2, sometimes do 5x2. So I've cast on rib this time, using a heather colour that I wanted to finish up. That is a Katia Ole Socks Comfort colour. So from that, I got the toe and the first part of the foot, about a third of the way up the foot. Then I moved on to a green camo mix. I've looked and looked, and I cannot find the name of this yarn. I've looked for my email purchase receipt in case I bought it online, which I may not have done, and I can't find anything. And I looked on my project page, and I very helpfully didn't list out the yarn that I've used. Chances are it's Regia, as that's always been my sock yarn of choice, having just listed Katia Ole, but overwhelmingly I've knitted socks in Regia, and large part of that is because they can be tumble dried, which I often find I have to do in the winter. Anyway, I've used that up. That took me to just about beginning to increase for the heel. I use a Flegel heel for my socks. So I've just begun that, and I'm now on to another Regia yarn, a very fiery combination of red, orange and pink shades. And there'll be a photo on Instagram of that. These colours work quite well together, I think, but that's maybe a matter of opinion. I really wanted to go all loud and proud on the clashing colours and use the lairiest combination of clashes, but I thought I'd better just ask my husband which colour he wants to start with, and he had a much more sober and conservative choices, which did surprise me a bit, but there you go. My daughter is partway through a very long school break. She finished her GCSEs in mid-June, and she's got nearly another month before she starts college. She gets her GCSE results in just over 2 weeks. I think it's beginning to loom a bit for her now. Anyway, she's done a few things to keep herself amused, and she's picked up knitting a couple of times. But she always stalls with knitting. She sort of initially enthusiastic, but and her tension, I think it might just indicate that she's not very comfortable or happy with what she's doing, because her tension's incredibly tight. And the other day she asked if I had a crochet hook. I do. I have four. And every knitter knows they're meant for picking up dropped stitches. I always feel terribly insecure with crochet. I avoid it. If a project needs a crocheted edge or a crocheted panel, I will usually avoid it because it's just too much of an uphill struggle at the moment. So I'm not much use to her, but she took to it like a duck to water, which at least gets her off her phone. It's really snowballed, and yesterday we went into town and she went to our local yarn shop, that's Stitches in Leominster, and she bought two more crochet hooks and six balls of yarn. They have these incredibly tempting bins of yarn outside. They moved a few years ago to a different spot in town, and they now have one side, they're on a corner, and one side goes up underneath a little covered arcade, so they can put these bins out and they don't have to. They used to, where they were before, they used to have to rush out with clear umbrellas if it rained, but they don't have to do any of that now. And the colours are just fabulous. They display these bins in, they've got see-through sides so you can see the full effect of all the blues together and all the reds, and they're lovely. And she fell hook, line and sinker, which I think was probably predictable. So she's got this stash now. She's developed a stash, comes to us all, and she's been getting on with this a great deal. When she was initially getting the hang of it, she stalled a few times as well, but the difference was that she kept coming back to it. She got a bit fed up and she'd stop. She'd pick it up a couple of hours later, and she's a smart girl. She said, I wasn't going to be defeated, which was entirely what I thought when I started knitting again properly about 6 years ago. I thought, I say, how difficult can it be? Which is disrespectful, because sometimes with knitting, it can be extremely difficult, and it's often very skillful when other people do it. But to get the basics, whether or not you execute them well is one thing, but I was determined to learn the basics, and seems to have had the same effect on her, and she's absolutely flying with it now. The next thing is to develop her own notions bag, as my scissors have already gone missing, as in completely lost, not just she's got them when I need them. They've disappeared into thin air, and that does not a happy knitter make. Our village show is coming up this weekend, as well as entering my marmalade, my apple and elderberry jelly and mackerel pate, two of which are sitting on my desk ready to go. I'll let you decide which. I'm entering the knitting class, obviously. Now, I can only enter one item, so I am dithering between the hat, as in the hats, one of the hats I've just made, the faux Fair Isle, or the baby pod and hat. Now, the baby pod and hat situation is complicated because the baby arrived on Saturday. I keep in touch with my cousin, but I don't know if it's the same for you these days. Postal addresses are just not so important anymore. And I know where she lives, but I've lost track of her actual street number and name address. So I'm just checking on that. It may just be that I have to put that in the post. I can't really let it wait any longer. And the reservation I had about that anyway is that because it has the stocking stitch rolled edge, it doesn't look as crisply finished as it might. And that's always, always a bugbear for me with the stocking stitch rolled edge, which otherwise I really like as an effect. I always struggle with getting a neat weave on the rolled edge, and it doesn't matter how far down I take the end before I start weaving, because when you're when the inside of your knitting is curling outwards, you don't really want to have your weaving right at the top. So I always take the yarn down a few rows before I start weaving in, but I don't know if it's because of that. It doesn't seem to matter what I do, it always just seems to poke its bloody head out, and it's really annoying. This whatever it is that you put in needs to be unworn. So either of the hats would do now that they're blocked, because they've not been worn since then. And I have a display head. I keep it for special occasions. I don't think I'll have another one by then. I thought perhaps I might, but that's before I cast on the socks. I won't put the socks in because they're using up these odds and ends. I mean, I like the effect. I think it's quite fun, but I think the judges are possibly a little more po-faced and won't think it's quite right. So at the moment, it's looking like one of these hats, probably the second one, just because it's bigger and I think the overall effect is better, and I think the Fair Isle effect is quite eye-catching. I'm not trying to kid them that it actually is a Fair Isle form of colour work. You know, I think it won't take much inspection to see that it's a variegated yarn, but we'll just see. There's always someone who puts in a shawl which is an absolute work of art and normally takes the prizes, so I don't expect that I'll necessarily win anything, but I've got it. I'll enter just for the fun of it, and I'm going to have to get out there early because my son has to be 20 miles in the other direction by 10 a.m. so I'll be sitting there anxiously all morning, like my daughter waiting for her exam results, waiting while they're in there doing their judging, and then go in after lunch and see how it's all gone. I went into Hereford last week, something I do only once every few weeks. If my son, who is growing like a mushroom, needs new clothes, we can't get them locally. Joy of living in the countryside. So I have to go into Hereford. And it, you know, kills a day of the holidays. And I thought while I was there, I would nip into a lovely fabric and yarn shop called Doughty's in, I think it's Church Street in Hereford, because they have a huge selection. They do have yarn and so on, but they also do a lot of fabrics and things like that. And I was looking for some waterproof, some P-Well or something like that for backing these towels. And I thought that is absolutely the place to go. Unfortunately, having walked over there, dragged my son along with me, I found out it was undergoing refurbishment and had temporarily decamped somewhere else. And I'm afraid, hand on heart, I just couldn't be bothered. It was one of those, I was like a spoilt brat. And it was, I don't want to now. So on the way home instead, we stopped in Leinster and we went into Clever Betsy's. It's a shop I've mentioned before quite a few times. It provides opportunities for adults with learning differences. They take a lot of donations of craft materials of all descriptions, and I have given them myself yarn I just know I'm not going to use. In fact, I've got a wee skein sitting there on my desk. I'm looking at it. It's one of those that's got not a huge bobble, but it's got a raised effect every few inches, and I don't really get on with yarns like that. So, but I know that they'll make something wonderful out of it. So I'll drop that in at some point. But it's an Aladdin's cave, and I could fossick about in there for hours, but I had to stay focused because the children were waiting in the car. My son did inquire when I got back to the car what had taken so long, cheeky little sod. But they're very helpful in Clever Betsy, and they took me, I said what I was in there for, what I was looking for, and they took me into the storeroom to look for some waterproof fabric that they thought they had, but it turned out it had all been sold, which is great news for them. So I had a rummage around in the main shop instead, and I found some bright blue fleece. Most towel patterns that I've seen stipulate polar fleece, so I had to have a bit of a research on this, and it turns out polar fleece is just fleece. It's just a name, the fancy name that it was given. But when I bought it, I didn't know that, but on the basis that it was 30p for quite a big bundle, it, you know, wasn't the end of the world if I'd bought the wrong thing. I also bought a lovely weighty pair of metal scissors, just like your teacher used at school. And these are all donated, all these things, and they're just lovely. I also bought two tape measures, one bright pink and one institutional green, and a roll of Velcro, which I thought I might trial as a fastening for the towels. Because got home, discovered that the green tape measure is only in inches, which is mildly annoying. I use tape measures quite a lot for work, and I have to work in centimetres, and having inches on one side and centimetres on the other is ideal. Also, I've got a couple of these tape measures where the numbers are reversed on one side to the other, so it doesn't matter which end you pick it up at, or whether it's been left in a massive heap, or which way up it's been rolled. You can always measure the way you want to, which I think is rather good. Anyway, the whole lot set me back £3.05, some total of, and the most expensive item was the scissors, which were a whole pound. So I'm really looking forward to, I'm really looking forward to putting it all together. I have put it all together. I completely winged knitting the top part, but I made a note of what I've done for myself, but I've created a shaped piece with a seed stitch border, just so that the stockinette doesn't roll, and I just remembered that from the various cloths that I've made, which have had little motifs in the middle, and you have to do a seed stitch border so that it has a chance of sitting flat. I used an existing towel as a template to cut a piece of fleece with the wing shapes. Although I followed this template, which should mean that the proportions are right, they look quite small. And I put a picture of it on Instagram, and somebody made the comment, you know, the wings look a bit on the small side. And I agreed with them, but I think this is just relative because the body of the towel is wider than the ones I normally use. And I think this might be why the wings just look smaller in comparison. But with my usual 3D brain fail, I've actually managed to put the wrong Velcro on the wrong sides of the wings. So I can't try it out at the moment, and we've had visitors, and it's maybe not the thing to be working on, you know, after supper. So I've just put it to one side for the time being. But because it's this Velcro is just adhesive, that's not what I would normally use for the real thing, but it's what they happen to have, and it was 75p, so for quite a big roll, so I just took it. So I can just cut another piece and put it on the other side and try it out. Someone suggested, you know, trying it out when it wasn't too critical, and I quite agree. The timing isn't really the best, because it'll now be a good sort of 2.5-3 weeks till I can try it out for real, and in the meantime I'll be lining up little shot glasses full of blue liquid to see how it performs. I'm really into these small projects at the moment. Life is quite demanding just now, but yeah, when's it not? You know, summer holidays, we've got our business, we've got visitors, we've got other stuff going on. And I don't think I have the oomph to contemplate a really big project like a jumper. Although I have seen a few things recently that I quite like. I ground to a halt last summer working on a jumper for my husband. I thought it was a clever move to get it done in the warmer weather, ready for the autumn. There was no big imperative. But instead, I got very, very bogged down with it. And then I avoided knitting completely for weeks. And when I was knitting brick for my daughter recently, you know, I had to improvise so many of the elements, and then things went wrong and I had to redo them, and I was quite fed up by the time I'd finished with all that. And these quick projects, they're like eating, you know, a tasty bag of crisps. They stay interesting and it's very satisfying turning them out so quickly and seeing the niche that some of these things fill. My son, he was trying his best to clear up after a failed exercise with some peanut butter the other day, but he managed to get peanut butter really well mashed into the scrubby that I made. I've been so attached to it, but it just goes in the washing machine. And quite honestly, obviously the whole point of making them is because I don't want to be disposing of things, but it's almost quicker to make another one than it is to put it through the wash and stick it on the line. But I will do. It's just so useful to have them to hand. So when I've finished these socks, I might just look at, you know, churning out another couple of those. So I've got Knit and Natter tomorrow. Polly is going to come with me. She'll bring the average age down by some massive percentage. She's going to bring her crochet. I think she's hoping there'll be one or two people there who will be able to answer some of her questions that she has about crochet. There's nobody who sits and crochets every week, but I'm quite sure that some of the people who knit are also perfectly competent crocheters, and they'll be more used to her than I am. It was quite interesting having a go at it initially. You know, I had the same feeling of I'm not going to be defeated by this. The difference being I was very happy to get back to two straight needles as opposed to one thing with a hook shape on the end. Anyway, it's been lovely to talk to you again and to interact with you on Instagram and Twitter, and I look forward to being back again soon. And who knows, I might have some phenomenal result from the Village Show. We can but hope. Bye.